Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show as we start off a new week. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve will soon be there from the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, a great selection of pre-owned inventory, and whether you're buying the pre-owned inventory, the new cars, and all that inventory, well, you have a sales staff that is there for you and not just there for the sale with whatever car you choose to get. And you have a service department that is there with the diagnostics, with the inspections, with all the routine maintenance when it comes to that current vehicle. It's all part of the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And it's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf and online at sunburymotors.com. And, of course, every Monday show, brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, or go to purdyinsurance.com. Home, auto, life, business, RV, boat. Good to see the boats back on Lake Augusta, let me tell you. It is just not summer in the central Susquehanna Valley without seeing boats on Lake Augusta. Good to see that. But if you need insurance for that boat, you have the Purdy's right there on Market Street in Sunbury. Or go to purdyinsurance.com to help you out. The true pros in insurance needs. And, of course, next Wednesday, we've got the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club to benefit the greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA, as we do each and every year. Always a fun time to see everybody, all the Purdy's. Steve comes out, of course. We'll do the show live. Everybody that comes out. It's always a fun time. I won't be there this year, unfortunately. I'll be on vacation next week. But the suit will be there live with Steve from the patio at the country club. So still will look forward to that. And again, all it's Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, purdyinsurance.com. We got a lot to get to today, a lot to recap. Deshaun Watson's suspension has finally been handed down from the independent investigator Sue L. Robinson. We'll get into that in a sec. First day of fall camp for Penn State football. Good to see football back in order, and we are exactly 1 month away from the first game of the year of this 2022 season. Penn State at Purdue on a Thursday night. So the countdown to the season officially on in Happy Valley, and this is getting to be the exciting time of the year as football season, college football season, less than a month away now from returning. Penn State football exactly 1 month from today. And now we get to see all of the questions start to get answered somewhat before they hit the field against the Boilermakers on September 1st. Most notably the offensive line, linebackers. That's pretty much it as we've talked about. You know, we got into it last week with Steve about the amount of depth that you're going to see, hopefully defensively this year. So it's exciting to see training camp start for Penn State football today, of course, in Happy Valley. And, of course, the great Bill Russell passed away over the weekend. A lot of remembrances of him throughout the course of the day today with that happening over the weekend. And his legacy, not only on basketball, but, of course, as well in civil rights matters and things like that. So I'm sure Steve will have some thoughts on on Bill's legacy and Bill Russell's legacy. And a couple of trades coming down as the MLB deadline, the trade deadline, approaches tomorrow. We will have Tim Kirkshead of ESPN on Wednesday at 4:06 to break down all the moves that we'll see by then. And the big one today was the Padres getting the Brewers closer Josh Hader in a deal with a lot of prospects in return, plus their closer in return. The Yankees get the Cubs reliever Scott Efros from the Cubs. They give up their number 7 prospect rated on MLB.com, so we're loaded there. But, of course, Case, we've got Deshaun Watson to talk about.
Number 7?
Yeah.
Oh. What's there between him and the 6th guy?
It doesn't matter because I'm fine with this trade.
I really don't care.
There you go. But the matter at hand is Deshaun Watson, and the NFL pretty much backing itself into a corner now.
To a point. Again, they've got an out here. Whoops. They've got an out here. And the out is they didn't make the decision. So, see what I'm saying?
Right, but they can still appeal, and which means Goodell makes the final call, and that's what everybody's calling them to do now.
Except, let's be honest about it, okay? Who's done more, the legal system or the NFL right now?
I don't disagree.
I'm not making any pronouncements here, okay? I'm saying, though, if you're sitting there and looking at the two, I hate talking about this stuff. to be honest, I do.
I hear you.
But who's done more, the legal system or the NFL? It's amazing how the hue and cry is about the league. Yet they brought this to 2 grand juries and they couldn't get an indictment. Remember, there's no defense when it comes to the grand jury. And we don't know what happened in there, but what isn't one of the first things you got to ask? Is, okay, why? Why wasn't he indicted? What the heck was said in there? Now, we don't know that. That's what we know. Yeah. Yeah, 6 games. I mean, I thought he was going to get... I thought he deserved a season, and I thought that they would go half a season, or maybe slightly half. I mean, essentially, it's about a third, right? 6 games out of 17, right? It's a little bit more than a third. And... I mean, they do, quote, have... As a league, they have, quote, an out. So what's the out? Well, the out is that the person they designated to do this and look into it made the ruling. That's an out. Now, do they now want to wash their hands of it and say, well, what's done is done? Will there be more pressure from outside sources for more? Will there be more pressure from other organizations for more? I'm talking about like other teams. I don't know. But nothing really, to be honest with you, nothing really surprises me. And so when I saw it was six, I wasn't surprised. If I had seen eight, I wouldn't be surprised. If I saw it a year, I wouldn't have been surprised. I mean, you don't get surprised by this stuff anymore. No shock value in it. Just isn't. Yeah. And I don't know. Now it's going to be interesting to, you know, I mean, what will the commissioner do? And again, you what did the Players Association recommend? They recommended zero. Then said last night, when they knew this was coming down, that they would abide by whatever she ruled. Not by what the commissioner ruled, but what by she ruled. That's where the Players Association comes out. This is your union. And there are two elements here that come into play. One, they went to two grand juries and was not indicted. Okay? And that's a big part of this. And two, another entity made this decision through her own investigation. Look, leagues are not equipped to do stuff like this. They just aren't. Where is a league equipped to do a sexual assault investigation? How are they equipped to do it? They aren't. That's where the legal system comes in. And by the way, he settled with four more of them, by the way. He settled with four more. I don't know. I think in the end, what does he lose? $330,000? Right? And based on his contract, that's pennies. Right? It's pennies on the dollar. I mean, based on his contract? Yikes. All right. So I want to get to, we do have to get to Bill Russell. I know you want to talk about Aaron Judge. I mean, you saw this massively incredible historic home run he hit.
I did.
He is the second fastest to 200 home runs. Do you know that?
I did know that.
Yeah, and you want to know what? Here's the other stat. He's 30. All right. So he's 514 behind Ruth. Not going to get there. All right. So, you know, he finally is having a season where he's healthy. I don't mean to rain in your parade, but I see stuff like that. It's factually accurate, but he's 30. He's not, you know, he's not going to get there. If he was 26, I'd be like, holy golly, ooh, he's 26. Man, how many is he going to hit? Not at 30. Now, could he get to Barry Bonds? After 101 games, Judge has 42. After 101 games, Bonds had 42. Now, that's interesting. Right? Now, that's interesting, right?
Absolutely has a shot for that.
You know, until he faces really good teams. He's not good against good teams. I mean, Mets, Astros, I mean, he flails. Royals beats him up. What was it like watching a minor league team?
It was just that, especially the sixth inning of the game that I was at, where three errors helped the Yankees extend the lead.
They're terrible.
And then they were all routine plays, too. Yeah, that was pretty bad.
Not good. All right. Take a break. Come back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
We have been talking about the 20-plus lawsuits against Deshaun Watson for, you know, a year now, essentially, and you know, so many lawsuits accusing him of sexual misconduct and other similar allegations. What the NFL brought to Sue Robinson, though, was 5 cases. You know, they interviewed more than 10, I believe 15 or so was the number of accusers that the NFL was able to interview, but they brought 5 cases to Judge Sue L. Robinson, as she noted in her ruling, all nonviolent cases. And that is an interesting distinction because publicly we've talked about 20, but she based her ruling on either 4 or 5.
I mean, it's interesting. I mean, you know, it's Tom Brady got 4 games for deflated footballs. Okay, Josh Gordon, 78 games because of marijuana. Vincent Jackson got 3 games because of he was driving without a license. Plaxico Burress got 4 for shooting himself in the leg. Calvin Ridley, a full season for making a bet that his team was going to win when he actually wasn't playing in the game. This is 6 games. Now, he was a healthy scratch all of last year, but it's a head-scratcher, but this is not one that Roger Goodell made the decision on. The question will now be whether he steps in the next 3 days and does something different. It's the opening day of training camp, for goodness sakes. I mean, come on. I got to talk about this? I didn't make the decision.
This was poor timing in terms of Penn State starting camp today.
Well, guess what? That's what people want to talk about. They don't want to talk about this. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't, but after a while, I mean, the problem you should have is with the legal system. They brought him to 2 grand juries and they went over. You know how tough that is to go to a grand jury and not get something? I mean, you cover the legal system. How tough is it to go to a grand jury and get an indictment?
Yeah. Not easy.
No, it is easy.
Oh, it is easy. It is easy. You're right.
I mean, the old running joke is you can get a ham sandwich indicted. Well, something must have not been right with what they did down in Houston. We'll have to ask John McClain about that. I have no idea. I mean, I thought he deserved a season. That's me. And I thought that in the end he'd get 8 games, almost half a season. It's 6.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Marcus Reed and Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. We're making the turn into August. We are 9 days away from the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. Kevin and I will be out there on the patio after our round is over to talk with all of you. There'll be a lot to talk about. Because at that point, 10 days into training camp. First day of training camp is today. Now, the baseball trade deadline is tomorrow. The Yankees already made one insignificant deal. But Josh Hader was dealt by the Brewers to the Padres. Now we're waiting to see where Wilson Contreras ends up. J.D. Martinez. I really doubt Juan Soto is going to get dealt now. Offseason, yes, now, no. So let's go to Joe Cirillo, who joins us from the Believe Network, who covers the Mets. Joe, welcome. Great to have you with us.
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me. And, yeah, Juan Soto in Queens, that's just got a nice ring to it, man.
How about Aaron Judge in Queens?
I would take that, too. You know, I would definitely take that. I would not put it past Steve Cohen. You know, as much as I love our fearless leader in Flushing, I think he's just spiteful enough that if the Yankees let Judge walk or if negotiations take too long, I could see Cohen swiping in and bringing Judge to the best borough in New York City.
All right. So now let's get to the current team, which has done really well. They get DeGrom back. Now the 1-2 punch of Scherzer and DeGrom. How important moving forward for the Mets, especially when they get to a short series, do you think that's going to be?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, you hit the nail on the head when you said, especially when they get to a short series. This team is built for so much postseason success. I mean, if you look at 2015, 7 years ago, when, of course, they made it to the World Series, fell in five to Kansas City, the Mets had the worst record of the five National League playoff teams. They had 90 wins. Even the two wild card teams had 98 and 97, respectively. But they were built for those short series. They had Harvey, DeGrom, who, despite a poor World Series start, was lights out through the NLDS and the NLCS. And that's what you need. You need starting pitching to win in the playoffs. And, you know, Scherzer going tonight, DeGrom going tomorrow. I'm not expecting the world from Jake in his first few starts. But,
right. You know,
essentially give him 2 months of delayed spring training, and I can't wait to see what happens down the stretch.
Well, in other words, October, he should be in midseason form at that point.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. Now let's bring it to what they need to do right now. The Mets are not a perfect team. Like most teams, they have a hole here or there. They were able to get a DH in Vogelbach. Okay, now what else do they need to fill to get themselves on a better track?
Well, you know, they need a right-handed Vogelbach, essentially. He's a great DH when righties are on the bump. But the Mets all year have struggled immensely against left-handed pitching. And there's a lot of great lefties in the National League that they would have to face come the postseason. You know, guys like Kershaw, obviously, Urias with the Dodgers, Max Fried down in Atlanta. So the Mets need to shore up their lineup against lefties. Vogelbach can't hit them. They just brought in Tyler Naquin, who, you know, slugs against righties great, but he's another lefty bat, 56 career home runs,
and
51 of them are off righties. So the Mets need to go in for a guy like Wilson Contreras, or if the Cubs aren't going to budge on price, a guy like J.D. Martinez, who, you know, obviously actually hits lefties better than Wilson, doesn't provide the defensive versatility that Contreras does. But, you know, J.D. hits lefties better, and I think a deal with Boston would be cheaper than a deal with Chicago. So that's the big move coming up in the next 24 or so hours.
Yet they do need somebody behind the plate.
They do. They definitely do. And, you know, that's why there's also been rumors of a deal with Boston, not only bringing JD to New York, but also bringing Christian Vasquez, their incredible catcher, who's in a walk year over as well. You know, the Mets right now, McCann is due to return from the IL on Thursday. The Mets have two defensive studs in James McCann and Tomas Nito, but offensively, their production from behind the dish about at the bottom of the MLB. So Contreras would be a great spark because he can obviously start at catcher, you know, every day. And then when lefties are pitching, you can DH him and have Nito and his defensive prowess back there. But Vasquez would be a pretty good second option to Contreras, especially if he comes cheaper.
The Braves don't have Freddie Freeman any longer. We know they're the defending world champions. But what has made them a tough out when you have watched them?
I mean, for me, the Braves' pitching is really what's carrying them more so this year than even their lineup. You know, Ozzie Albies has been hurt for a while, and even when he was healthy, he really was not having a good season. Acuna hasn't had an Acuna-like season. I mean, you know, he's been good since his return, but, you know, a guy like him, you expect to be phenomenal, not just good. For Atlanta, it's been all about their pitching this year. Max Fried, I just mentioned him.
Yep.
He's sensational. He's a Cy Young candidate. But then you get a kid like Spencer Strider, who started the year in the bullpen, had to move to the rotation, and, you know, he's been absolutely lights out. He's come back down to earth a little bit over his last three or four starts, but he's still got a K rate that, you know, if he qualified, I believe he'd be atop the National League in Ks per nine if he had the innings to do so. Charlie Morton has put together some really good starts. Ian Anderson's been better lately, slow start to the year. And, you know, we haven't even mentioned when Mike Soroka comes back.
Yeah.
This Braves rotation, we talk about the Mets being built for October. There's a lot of good pitching in the National League. The Mets, Braves, and Dodgers, you know, they all have lineups that can mash, but more importantly, they all have great starting pitching.
The Phillies had a great run after Robbie Thompson was named the manager and got themselves back into it, then slumped again, and then had the perfect elixir four games with the Pirates. It's amazing how that puts you back on track every time. How do you view the Phillies, even though they're 9.5 back right now?
Yeah, I don't view them as a threat to the Mets right now, and you know, that's not only because they're 9.5 back, but it's because the Mets have really had their number this year and just dominated them head-to-head. But I view the Phillies as a legit playoff team. I think that they're, you know, they're gunning for that newly added sixth seed in the National League, and it's going to be interesting because right now when you look at a team like, you know, the St. Louis Cardinals, for example, and they're talking about maybe adding Soto. I know that they were looking at Ohtani, even though it just came out that per John Heyman's report, the Angels aren't going to move Ohtani. But, you know, the Cardinals are gunning for that sixth spot, and they're talking about going all in. I think the Phillies right now are in a better position for it than the Cardinals, and the National League East is just such a great division. I do believe you're going to have three playoff teams come out of it.
Right. From the Mets' point of view, who would the Mets be concerned about in terms of somebody that moves to another team? Who would they be worried about in that vein?
Well, the obvious answer is Soto going to the Dodgers. You know, it's been reported that there's three finalists in on him, and it's St. Louis and San Diego who I think have a better chance because of, you know, I think that they have more depth and more MLB players that they'd be willing to part with than the Dodgers. But, you know, the Dodgers kind of lurking in that three spot for him. If they get Soto, I'm scared. But at the moment, you know, the only team in the entire MLB, and maybe, you know, as a Mets fan, we haven't won a World Series in, you know, since 1986. So maybe it's a little cocky of me to say this, but the only team across either league that scares me is the Houston Astros. And so I would say what worries me with the Astros at the deadline is that they're heavily in on two guys who I'd love the Mets to get, and that's Josh Bell and Wilson Contreras. I've actually been on record saying it for over a month now that when it comes to a bat, Josh Bell has been my most desired guy, but Mike Rizzo seemingly doesn't want to deal with the Mets. So Josh Bell to Houston seems like a sure thing, and, you know, that scares me should both of those teams end up facing each other in late October, early November.
What did you think about the Josh Hader deal from Milwaukee to San Diego?
I love it for the Brewers. I mean, the Brewers have, you know, so many teams get desperate around the deadline and they start looking for bullpen help. The Brewers have an embarrassment of riches at the back end of their bullpen.
Yes,
and
do.
I don't even think Josh Hader was the best relief pitcher on that team. To me, it's Devin Williams, who, you know, is right up there with Ryan Helsley, as I think you could argue for the second best reliever in the National League behind only Edwin Diaz. Williams, to me, will slot in beautifully in that closer role for Milwaukee. I think Rogers, despite having 28 saves, is going to be more of a lefty specialist slash eighth inning guy. And when you look at guys like Zinelson Lamet, who, you know, they also pulled in this return for Hader, don't forget Lamet. I know it was a short season, 60 games. He was fourth in Cy Young voting in 2020. In fact, from 2019 to 2020, the guy averaged 12.5 Ks per nine. So he's got filthy stuff if the Brewers can really channel it. And then they got some good prospects. Robert Gasser, the seventh-ranked prospect in San Diego's farm system. He's a lefty. You know, his last name is Gasser. The guy throws gas, but he's also got great off-speed stuff. And then you've got Asturi Ruiz, who, if you look at him in terms of his ranking, he's only the 28th prospect in their system. But he's gone from Double-A to the big leagues this year. And in the minors, hit a combined 333 with 15 home runs. So the Brewers need outfield help. Ruiz can provide immediate outfield help on a team that, you know, not too long ago actually cut Lorenzo Cain. So I think it was a great deal for the Brewers.
The Mets recently took the two that they played against the Yankees, which, of course, means you've now seen it up close and personal. How good are the Yankees?
The Yankees are a really good regular season team, but I don't think they're built for postseason success because I think the Yankees desperately need pitching help. You know, they've got a great all-or-nothing lineup that when you're playing in a bandbox where it's 314 to right and 318 to left, it can win you games against the Kansas City Royals by scores of 11-8. But when things come down to Justin Verlander and Luis Castillo and Alec Manoa, all of a sudden, it's going to be tough for the Yankees because if they're not hitting home runs, they're not scoring runs. And we saw that, you know, against the Mets, they scored 5 runs in that series, and 4 of them were due to the long ball.
52% of the Yankees' runs this year have been from home runs.
Yeah, that's a great number. I didn't have that number on me. So that just further validates the point that if the Yanks aren't hitting the ball out of the park, they're not scoring runs, and they just don't have the pitching to be winning games 2-1, 3-2. It's why I said the Astros scare me so much, because if I'm a Mets fan and the Mets hold the Yankees to 3 runs, I'm walking away going, oh, the Mets probably won that game. Mm-hmm. If I hear that the Mets held the Astros to 3 runs, I'm thinking, well, did they hold us to 2? The Yankees don't have the pitching to really scare me in October, but hey, that lineup, it's definitely a good one.
Yeah, no, obviously it's an excellent lineup. Even though they made such a horrible move by getting rid of Joey Gallo, I'm just kidding. Benintendi really, I think, will help them a lot along the way. On the Mets this year, who surprised you?
Ooh, I mean, Taijuan Walker has to be the guy, right? It's like he has been the model of consistency for this team. When Max Scherzer went down on the IL for 6 weeks, Jacob DeGrom obviously was originally supposed to come back in June, and now it's August 2nd. He'll be making his season debut. Taijuan Walker really kept things steady. You know, they brought in Chris Bassett, and everyone instantly, oh, Chris Bassett's our number 3 guy. He was an American League All-Star. He's been up and down. He started hot like a bat out of hell, and he's struggled lately. So Taijuan Walker, for him to turn in the year that he's turned in thus far, I mean, an incredible first half, ERA of 2.5. And what I always like to point out to people is that Walker came off the IL early in the season and got shelled in Philadelphia his first start back. If you take that one start away, his return from the injured list, he turned out a first half ERA of 2.05, even way more impressive than the 2.5 ERA he had. So he was sensational the entire first half, and now he's our number 3 guy moving forward. It's like, you know, without Walker, I don't know where this team would be in terms of pitching, but, you know, there's so many guys that have surprised you. Like Cookie Carrasco just got his 100th win, I believe becoming the 6th Venezuelan-born pitcher to do so. Mm-hmm. And, you know, him being 11-4 with an ERA around 3.5, that's way more than you could have asked for to this point. Everyone has stepped up. This team really just has that next man up mentality, and it's been a beautiful thing to watch.
How much more relaxed has Francisco Lindor been this year?
So much more. But we've seen this, you know, with guys who struggle their first year in New York. Look at Beltran in 05.
Yep.
People were like, what? We just handed him a record-setting contract? And then 06, he ties the franchise record, or at the time he tied it before Alonso shattered it, with 41 homers in 2006. You know, Diaz had that horrendous 2019. Now it's not even close. He's the best reliever in baseball. So Lindor got his New York jitters out of the way. And if you look what he did last year, from June on, he was a top 3 offensive shortstop. It was really just a horrendous first couple of months, first 2 to 3 months last year. You know, obviously he got back on track late in the season, had that 3 home run game where him and Stanton were going at it on Sunday Night Baseball in the Subway Series. And that's rolled over into this year. You know, the guy didn't make the All-Star team this year. that's just how deep the National League is at shortstop. Swanson and Turner are both having otherworldly seasons, but Frankie Lindor's got 70 runs batted in. The 260 average is a little light, but batting averages are light all around baseball, so I'm not too worried about that. He's been sensational this year.
And then there's Edwin Diaz. Everybody, I think, aches to have a closer like this. I mean, he's got 23 saves. He's got 26 hits he's given up in 41 and two-thirds. I mean, he's just been cooking along at 18 strikeouts per nine innings. Your thoughts on watching Diaz and how confident is Citi Field when he takes the mound?
Man, when those trumpets start playing at Citi Field, game's over. The Mets are, what, 52-0 when they lead after the eighth inning?
Yep.
I mean, it's been unreal. And you mentioned the Yankees scoring 52% of their runs on the long ball. I think Diaz has struck out 52 or 53% of the batters he's faced this season.
Yep.
He's doing what Chapman did when he first burst onto the scene in terms of strikeout numbers. He's absolutely sensational. The Mets have had some great seasons from closers. They've had some great closers, going back to Johnny Franco, a few years of Billy Wagner. Jurys Familia had career years with the Mets. There's never been a guy, maybe Wagner in 06, but outside of that, there's never been a year where I've been so confident in the ninth inning that we've got the game. You know, even when Familia had 50 saves, a lot of them were shaky. A lot of them, you know, resulted on a guy getting into scoring position at some point. With Diaz, it's like you could really turn the TV off in the ninth inning, and that's just such a rarity in baseball.
There is nothing like having a no-drama closer.
I mean, it's so rare, man. It's amazing.
Mariano Rivera, there's nothing like having a no-drama closer. You're like sitting, how
Absolutely.
Good. It is so good to see him out there. Absolute pleasure. Thanks so much for being with us today. Appreciate your insight.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Boy, he is not big on the Yankees.
Wow. Oh, he's just a typical Met fan backstabbing the Yankees a little bit. He is underselling them. I don't want to say big time, but he's underselling them. Hello, have you not been watching the Yankees bullpen all year? It was one of the best bullpens in the league. You want to talk about the starting pitching? Fine, I get that. Line up against good pitching, fine. I get that. But the Yankees bullpen has won them a lot of games.
Why did you deal for bullpen help?
Because Michael King's hurt. That's the only reason why.
And Lewis is not dependable. And
he's been
Green's out for the year.
Exactly. They're only doing it to get another arm because they're injured there in that spot a little bit. It's not because of lack of talent. Clay Holmes had a bad day yesterday, but it happens.
Very, very emotional.
I'm just saying, like, if you're gonna be a typical Met fan and go that route, at least know what you're talking about. That's all I'm gonna say.
Speaks highly of you.
Like, come on.
Seem upset.
Because he's not right in his Yankees assessment. I'm sorry. He's bleeding a little too much orange and blue rather than actually seeing what's happening across town.
Okay.
Just me.
I'll say this, they got the better closer. He's lights out. He is lights out. You okay?
I'm good. I just can't ignore stupid, that's all. As you know.
How many times have the Yankees beaten the Mets this year?
Listen, the Mets have better pitching overall. But don't tell me the Yankees bullpen stinks.
How many times have the Mets... Excuse me, the last game between the two... Right when the Mets and the Yankees played, who did the Mets score the winning run off of? The bullpen.
It was against the bullpen. But you're talking about a 3-2 game.
Calm down. Calm down. Ooh, you only scored two runs.
Yeah.
It was on a two-run homer.
Exactly. I get that part.
You're not very good at manufacturing runs. I think Toronto eliminates you. You're done. All right. There's some entertainment value to, like, your panic.
I've been told that once or twice.
I'm telling you. Your voice is getting high. Just slow down.
I've also heard that phrase before.
All right. Bill Russell passed away yesterday. Well, actually, you know, talk about a guy that actually had a great career as opposed to great moments. Back to the Yankees.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
In a 13-year span, the Yankees have no world championships. In a 13-year span, Bill Russell was on teams that won 11. Okay. We'll talk about that in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
In an ever-changing world, one thing you can always count on is the service at Purdy Insurance. Hi, this is Season. While the world is constantly changing, Purdy Insurance is dedicated to providing you with the highest level of service to protect you, your family, and your business. Give us a call today at 570-286-5855. Go to our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.